Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. But we're going to be looking at two different passages this morning. Our primary passage is found in the book of Psalms. And so if you have your Bibles, you can kind of open up right in the middle of the Bible. You'll probably hit the big book of Psalms. We're going to be looking at Psalm 138. And so you want to find that spot, maybe mark that spot, hold that spot, because that's where we'll start this morning. And then a little later, we will look at our secondary text, which will be from 2 Samuel 5. And so from the book of Psalms, you want to go left a little ways. Last week we were in 1 Samuel, so don't go quite that far, but you do want to go left past the Chronicles, past the Kings, into 2 Samuel 5. And if you have both of those passages ready and available to you, I would love that today as we continue in this new sermon series we started last week, where we are looking at what's called the prayers of Scripture. And we are looking at the actual words that are offered up to God in prayer, as well as looking at the prayers of Scripture, the people and the context of those who lifted up those prayers. And our desire, our hope, is that as we look at both the words and we look at the context and the people, that together we will grow in our understanding of prayer, and also in our own maturing and development and growth of our own prayer life. And that's our hope. And we started last week in 1 Samuel with Hannah. And we looked at two prayers in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And we learned that prayer can involve both a pouring out of our souls and also an outpouring of our praise. And this week we're going to be here for the first time in this series in the book of Psalms. We're going to be here another time later on. The book of Psalms is often called the hymn book of Scripture. It could also be called the prayer book of Scripture. And so it makes sense that we would spend some time here in the book of Psalms. And before we do, let's pray for our time of study. God, we are grateful for this moment and this time. As we pray each week, we ask, Holy Spirit, you would be at work. Guide all that is said and all that is heard. And may all of it be for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I would invite us this morning as we look at Psalm 138. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Let's stand together as we hear from the Word of the Lord. This is Psalm 138. It's a psalm of David. Listen with me to the Word of God. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. Amen. You may be seated. I think anyone who has the privilege and joy of working with children will probably say the same thing. It does not matter if you are a teacher whose life passion and joy is educating our youth, or if you are a parent who takes seriously the responsibility of nurturing the next generation, or if you are a weary VBS volunteer who spent a draining week herding cats hopped up on a pixie stick sugar buzz. I mean, a wonderful week sharing life together with darling, sophisticated, calm children through the wonders of discipleship. Is that how you want me to do this, Lucinda? Is that what you, okay, I'll say it that way. Right, but it does not matter what your connection is with children. I think we would all say the exact same thing. I think we would be surprised, maybe even amazed, or maybe we would even say that it is an incredible feat in and of itself that this psalm exists. Because how many times, and when I say how many times, I mean how many, 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 many times when the plate of potatoes is passed, or when the gift of a small piece of candy is offered, or when the door is held open, or when someone compliments the pretty dress, or when you get a birthday gift, or you pick any other situation in life, how many times do we need to say to the children, remember to say thank you? And let's be honest, it's not just the kids. I kid you not, this week I went and got a haircut. And as I was leaving the haircut place, I noticed there was an older mom and dad with an adult child. They had left right before me. And as I was walking out the door, I noticed that on the ground, right next to the door, was, I would call it a woman's billfold or wallet, you know, not the kind you put in your pocket. And it was laying right there. And I thought, well, I got to grab that. So I grabbed it and I opened up the door and I yelled, is this yours? And the older mom turned around and she said, oh, she didn't say thank you though. She said something else. And I gave it to her, and I walked back to my car, and I realized she said something, but she did not say thank you. I thought, oh, I'm going to use that on Sunday. Because not only kids, but adults, we all sometimes have a hard time remembering to say thank you. And that is what makes the presence of Psalm 138 so incredible. Because it is a psalm of thanksgiving. David is remembering to say, he's remembering to pray, thank you. And this serves then as a reminder to us that as a part of our prayer life, our prayers of thanksgiving. Now, as we read this psalm together, as we did just a moment ago, it becomes apparent to us that something has happened in the life of David. And so David has called out to the Lord. He's made a request to the Lord in a time of need. And maybe some of us are familiar with that, right? We say, God, I just lost my job. How am I going to provide for my family? Or God, I've got a test first period and I am not prepared. Or God, rent just went up and my paycheck was already stretched to the max. Or God, I'm new to this school and I have no friends. I mean, maybe we are familiar with calling out to God in our time of need. And we see that David does that here. He has some sort of need and he's called out to God. And we read that God has answered. God heard and God replied. And though we do not know exactly what situation David is referring to here, many believe and wonder if it's the situation recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 5. So what I'd love for you to do is find that passage with me now. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17. We're going to read what is happening here and get a sense of the connection between these two passages. So 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 17, here's what's happening. It says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim, so David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? The Lord answered him, go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, as waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Once more, the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, "Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them from in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of the marching and the tops of the balsam trees, move quickly, because that will mean that the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army." So David did as the Lord commanded, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. Think this situation fits with what David is describing here in Psalm 138. Don't you agree? That when he is pressed not once but twice by the Philistines, David twice calls out to the Lord, and twice the Lord answers, and twice David is able to defeat the Philistines. Which is a wonderful testimony in and of itself that God has heard and God has provided and God has protected and God has saved David and his group. But our focus today is something a little different than that. Our focus is the very fact here that Psalm 138 is actually here. That after David called and after the Lord answered and after David was victorious over his foe, then David prays again. And not just prays, but he gives thanks. David remembers to pray, "Thank you." And in doing so, he demonstrates to us this morning how to pray thank you and why to pray thank you and for what to pray thank you. Now, I want to stop here just for a moment because there may be some of us here who have a perceptive eye and a keen mind, and you might be looking at this psalm and saying, "Okay, are you trying to pull something on us here?" Because you may be affirmed that, yes, there's a connection here between Psalm 138 and 2 Samuel 5. And you may be affirmed that it is an important part of our prayer life that we pray prayers of thanksgiving. And you might even be eager to learn, okay, how do we pray a thank you prayer? And why do we pray thank you? And for what do we pray thank you? You might be up for all of that. But you might be looking at this psalm and be ready to ask, how is this a psalm of thanksgiving? When the word thanks doesn't even show up. Did you notice that? If you notice that, you're right. The word thanks is nowhere to be found, at least not in the translation I'm using, which is the NIV. But it's there. The word thank you is there, right from the very beginning, and it sets the tone for the entire psalm. You maybe are using a different translation than I am this morning, so you might already see this, but I want to share with you, right there in verse 1, right away at the beginning, the very first verb, it says, "I will praise you." That word for praise is often translated as thanks. And that translation, "I will thank you," or "I will give thanks," that is used in some predominant translations like the NRSV and the ESV and the NAS and some other ones as well. Now, I stand before you, I do not know why the NIV translated as praise. We can get into a whole, Bible translations a whole nother time. But I want you to rest assured this morning that the word thanks is indeed there, and it sets the foundational theme for this passage. "I will thank you," says David. And he tells us how to thank God in prayer. And he begins right away in verse 1. "I will praise you," or "I will thank you, O Lord, with all my heart." This is literally what David is saying here. That phrase, "all my heart," means this: the totality of everything that is the inner part of who I am. That's a lot, isn't it? Often we describe that as our hearts. We can describe that as our mind or our spirit, our character, our disposition. And that pretty much covers everything of who we are, right? So David is saying here, with full sincerity and with utmost enthusiasm arising from every bit of who I am, David is saying, I'm giving thanks to you, God. And I tell you what, that is a challenge for me. You too? Not only saying a prayer of thanksgiving, but in the fullness of my prayer life, that I give all of who I am in thanks to God. Not letting my mind or my heart or my spirit be distracted, but completely, utterly focused on God, so that I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with all that I am. That's a challenge for me. But David says, this is how I'm going to praise you. This is how I'm going to thank you with all my heart. David gives us another way of how to give thanks. Look at the first line of verse 2. He says, I will bow down toward your holy temple. Now, the words there to bow down, this is more than that the polite greeting that some cultures have where they bow like that as a form of greeting. No, the word here for bow down means to bow deeply. So David is talking about lowering himself down and literally prostrating himself before God, that he's taking his entire body down before the Lord. What this is that this is an act of humility. Humbling oneself before God. And when we think about it, isn't that really what saying thank you is? It's humbling ourselves to another person. Because when we are saying thanks to another person, we are thanking that person. We are thanking someone for providing something beyond what we were able to do or provide or to be in that moment for ourselves. So we're sitting around the dinner table and we need the plate of potatoes. And we know it's rude to reach across. We also don't have go-go gadget arms to reach all the way down there. And so we say, please pass the potatoes. And the potatoes come and we say, thank you. Why? Because it was something we were not able to do in that moment for ourselves. Or here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, David, who is this recently anointed king, he is matched up against the Philistine army that has come out in full force and has him trapped in the valley of Rephaim. But what does God do? God provides a way. The Lord does something for David that David could not do for himself. And so David is right, and it's appropriate for him to humbly bow down and to say thank you. Friends, may that be the same for us. That we recognize and we acknowledge, that we humble ourselves to say thank you to a God who has done what we could not do for ourselves. And I get it. That is not a celebrated practice today, is it? To humble ourselves. We are quick to believe in ourselves. We are told, the message we tell ourselves is that the glory is going to be directed to us, because if we want something, we need something, we take care of it. Right? Or let's use the food example again, right? I provided this food that's around the table. How many of us are going to go after worship today? Maybe we're going to go out to eat, or maybe we're going to go around the table and we're going to have this beautiful spread for Father's Day, and there's going to be food there, and we say, well, I provided this food because it was my hard-earned money for my job that provided that food there. Really? Well, let's just back that up a little bit and say, well, who gave us the gifts to be able to do the job that we do? And who gives us the strength and the energy each morning after a night of slumber to go and do the job that we do? And who allows us the wisdom and gives us the wisdom to take that money that we earn and divide it out from food and clothes and vacation and entertainment? And who gives us that so that we can have the wisdom and the energy and the gifts so that we can have the job that provides the money that we then can go to the store and get the food and prepare it on the table? Friends, we'll just name that there is nothing that we have that is void of God's fingerprints. And so we remember to pray thank you with all our heart and in humility to our God. So David tells us He reminds us of how to pray thank you. David also here in this psalm gives us insight into why we would pray thank you. And that might seem like an obvious one to us, right? I mean, we read 2 Samuel chapter 5, and not once but twice David is trapped and God comes and provides a way out. And so it might be very easy for us to say, well, that's why. God did something. And it was great for David. It's true. But what David shows us here in Psalm 138 is that it's not so much what God does, but rather who God is why we give thanks. Because let's just name the reality that life's circumstances and life's events, they fluctuate. They go all over the place. Sometimes it's great and sometimes it's hard. And we can even name that when we call out to God, when we pray to God, sometimes God answers those prayers with a yes, sometimes God answers those prayers with a no, sometimes God answers those prayers with a not yet. And regardless of where life situations are, regardless of how God is answering those prayers, what remains the same is who God is. And that's what David reminds us here. Look at verse 2 with me again. We're going to start, I will bow down. But then it says this, and will praise your name. Friends, one's name represents one's character and reputation. Go to the next line. For your love, right? This is a great Hebrew word, the profound Hebrew word hesed, which is that covenantal loving kindness kind of love, a love that goes above and beyond, a love of who God is. God is love. David says, for your love and for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness, this is the eternal nature of who God is and a covenant relationship with his people. Next line, for you've exalted before all things. And go down to verse 5, the glory of the Lord is great. And so you have this God whose glory is great, who exalts and lifts up all things, including his name and his word. What David is doing here is he's testifying that this is who the core of who God is. And as for David's particular situation, and frankly, for so many of our situations as well, the core of who God is leads God to action and leads God to care for us. But even if not, even if God does not move and act in the way that we would want, even if the answer to our calling out is not yes, but no, or not yet. Even if things don't shake out the way that we would want them to, even if that does not change who God is. And who God is before and beyond what God does, who God is more than enough reason for us to remember to pray, thank you. And so David shares with us here how to pray thank you. He shares with us why to pray thank you. And David also shares with us for what to pray thank you. I think I heard Lucinda say earlier that God is still at work. God's not retired. I like that phrase. I hadn't thought about that before. God is still at work. God is still at work. Yes, this is the core of who he is, but God is at work. And sometimes God is indeed at work in powerful, mighty ways that show up in the pages of Scripture. But most often, God is at work in imperceptible ways that we do not even notice unless we are honed in with our spiritual and mental magnifying glasses. And friends, the reality is whether we realize it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we name it or not, even whether we see it or not, God is at work. And David says this is for what we can then give thanks for. God is at work. And in this particular passage, in this situation, David names three things. This is what we can thank God for. And he names three great things that are in his particular situation. And of course, we're going to name that our prayers of thanks for what? Goes way beyond these three things, right? The list is endless. But we're going to start here with these three because this is what David says in this passage, Psalm 138. And the first thing David says is that we can say, here, what can we pray thank you for? We can pray thank you that God provides. Jump back up to verse 3 if you have your Bibles open yet. David calls The Lord answers. And then David testifies that this is what the Lord did. You made me bold and stout-hearted. I'm going to be honest with you. The only ever time I say the word stout-hearted is when I read Psalm 138. I didn't even know what it meant. I had an idea, but I didn't know what it meant. I had to look it up. It means to give strength to your soul or to give strength to your core. So what David is saying here, God, I called to you and you answered and you provided because you gave me boldness and you gave me strength. And that's exactly what David needs when he's faced against the Philistines. But David acknowledges in Psalm 138, it's not just to the newly anointed king that God provides for, but for others as well. Look, jump down to verse 6. Though the Lord is on high, He looks upon the lowly. He sees those who are in need. This reminds me of Hannah's prayer from last week. When she prays, the Lord raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. Everything that is provided for all people, no matter how little, no matter how great, it is from the Lord, and that is the reason for which we can give thanks. David's words also illustrate that we can thank God for, in his words, preserving. We could also use the word protecting us. Look at verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. I can only imagine what David must have been feeling when he is facing the formidable army of the Philistines that have come out in full force. David must have been trembling. He knows he's in trouble. He knows that he is in trouble big time because there's this army that is against his ragtag group of followers. But what happens is whether it's straight on or in a roundabout way, God protects David as he's walking in that trouble. And when I think about that, I think about the kind of trouble that I'm walking in. The same kind of trouble that you're walking in. Walking in the trouble of sin. Where my destiny and your destiny is death and destruction, if not for the outstretched arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross, where with His outstretched hands, His nail-pierced hands, He was saving you and me. God protecting, preserving my life, your life, our eternity. A wonderful work for which to give thanks. And then David also says this, what to pray for is that God has a purpose for his life. Look at verse 8 with me. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Now the sentiment's there, and then when you look at the very last line of the psalm where David is like, God, don't stop what you're doing. God, don't relent. Don't back off. Do not abandon what you're doing. All that starts, we can infer here that things are not over yet. David maybe won the day. He won those two battles, but there are more battles to come. And yet David believes that God has a purpose for his life, that God has anointed him now as this new king of his people Israel, and that God, out of his great abundant covenantal love, has a plan for David's life as he's going to lead these people. And friends, I want you to know this morning that God has a purpose for your life as well. God has a plan for you, that He is providing for you. He's protecting you because He's got a plan for you. And it does not matter whether we are a newly anointed king or not. It does not matter how old or how young we are in this moment. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. And He's caring for you and He's providing for you in such a way because He is desiring that purpose happen for you. And who knows what that is? I mean, I'll be honest, there's times I do not understand what the plan is for my life. I don't know what God has in store for me. And I don't always know what He has in store for you as well. There's joys and there's hardships, but I know that God is providing and God is protecting us because He's got a plan for our lives. And that plan might be He maybe has gifted you in such a way because He wants you to serve in some ministry here at Westview, or He's gifted you and given you the ability to care for that first mission field that is our home, or maybe God is gifting you, He's got a plan for your life because He's calling you to be a pastor of another congregation to proclaim God's word, or maybe God is calling you and leading you to go overseas and share His love with an unreached people group, or maybe something altogether different, but God has a purpose for you. And that purpose for your life is another reason for which we can give thanks. We remember as kids and as adults, we remember to pray, thank you. As we move into the next part of our worship service here, what I want to do is I want to share with you, and then I want you to participate with me in a prayer practice that helps us and has helped countless generations remember to pray thank you. So let me share this with you. And I have to admit, I do not know all the history and all the details. But what I do know, I want to share with you. Many years ago when I was in seminary, I had a professor share with our class. He taught us this prayer blessing of the Jewish people. It was a way for the Jewish people to orient themselves in a posture of blessing God and giving thanks to God. I've heard it called, I don't know if this is the official title or not, but I've heard it called the Barukatah, which is the first couple of words in this blessing. And it's a series of words that open a prayer in order to orient ourselves in a posture of thanksgiving. So I'm going to invite you, as we go along here, I'm going to invite you to say it with me. So we're going to put it up here on the screen this morning. There it is in the Hebrew. Are you ready to say it with me? No? It looks good. That's what it is, the Barukatah. Okay, so we'll put the transliteration up there instead. All right, it still looks kind of funny because it's not exactly our language, but at least it's our letters, right? I will say it very slowly once. You can follow along, and then I'm going to invite you to say it with me. Does that work? Okay, so I'll say it first. Barukatah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Should I say it again? Barukatah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Would you say it with me? Barukatah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam. Very good, very good. You want to know what you're saying? We'll put the translation up here on the screen now. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Sometimes it's ruler of the universe. Same Hebrew word. It means the one who reigns. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Now this is the beginning of a prayer. It's not a complete prayer. It's the beginning. It's the opener of a prayer. And what I want you to think of is put an ellipsis at the end. I think we'll have that the next slide here. Put those three dots at the end of this opener, because what comes next then is what is flowing then up out of us. That is up to the person who is praying then can share what they want to bless and thank God for. For what do they want to thank God for? So, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, for what? And that's where you, as the prayer, gets to fill in what's next. So what we're going to do is we're going to practice this together. We're going to practice this prayer opener. And what I'm going to invite us to do is I'm going to invite us to pray the Barukatah, and we're going to say it in Hebrew. And at the end of saying it in Hebrew, we're going to add the English words, for your. And then the first time we do it, I want you to pick one of the three things that David says, for your provision, for your protection, or for your purpose. You pick which one today that you want to thank God for. So we'll say it all in Hebrew. We'll say for your, and then we'll all together pick one of those three. Then we're going to go into a time of just silent prayer for just for a moment, where you can expand upon that silently between you and God. Then we'll come back. I'll bring us back and we'll say the prayer opener again. And we will say, this time we'll say, Barukatah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam for, and then we're going to insert a first name. And so which person in your life do you want to thank God for today? We're just going to offer their first name. And I love it. We're all going to say someone's name. It's going to fill the space. And then again, we'll have a moment of silence. And then the third time we'll come back, we'll do it again. We'll say it in Hebrew, and then we'll say, for your, and the third time we're going to do an attribute of God, for your grace, for your love, for your kindness, for your compassion, for your justice, whatever you want to thank God for of who He is, and then we'll again go into a time of silent prayer. Does that make sense? Now the great thing is you don't have to do this just three times. or for these specific things. You can pray this opener, the Barukata, over and over and over and over again in your prayer life. In fact, I know some people that this is how they start out every prayer they pray, so that they are oriented to remember to pray thank you. Let's try it together. We're going to say it in Hebrew. It's going to be for your, and then you pick provision or protection and purpose, and we'll go into silent prayer. You guys ready? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech haOlam, for your purpose. Let's pray. Back together. We're going to pray again in Hebrew, that opener, and we're going to pray four, and then we're going to pick a name. Pick one name that you want to thank God for today. Are you guys ready to do this? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech haOlam, for together. Adonai Eloheinu, Melech haOlam, for your grace. With all our hearts, we humbly bow down before you, God. And for all of who you are and for all you have done, are doing, and will do, for this we give you thanks. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.